Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And from the law firm of Harvell & Collins, I'd like to welcome Andrew Foster, a.k.a. the tax man, in the studio this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
And how are you this fine morning?
Doing well.
Doing well. All things considered, doing well.
Exactly.
Lots of happenings up in Washington, D.C. on all levels. We heard earlier our conversation with Lockwood and Vince Colonnais talking about the military side of it, but the tax side, the federal government keeps on spending money, and at some point you got to pay for it.
That's right.
And they're throwing out suggestions, options on how to do so. What's the latest?
Yeah, things are starting to take shape relative to this $3.5 trillion spending bill. You know, we mentioned the two companion bills. We've got the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which was just over $1 trillion. That one pretty much was devoid of any tax increases. Mm-hmm. Some crackdown on cryptocurrency, but other than that, really nothing major there. The $3.5 trillion bill that's on the table has now started to take shape, and it includes the biggest set of U.S. tax increases in a generation. Mm. So you're talking about $2.1 trillion in new tax levies through this.
Wow.
So it's really big. Yeah. The interesting thing is that we're starting to see the details come out. So yesterday, the House Ways and Means Committee, by a vote of 24-19, advanced this bill forward. And by doing so, they had to start putting the details in it so we could figure out what exactly they're proposing at this point in time. That 24-19 vote, by the way, one Democrat broke ranks and voted with the Republicans. No, all Republicans voted no. All other Democrats voted yes mm-hmm. to advance the bill forward. What's interesting to note about that, Mike, is that it was Congressman Murphy out of Florida. She voted no. Pelosi can only lose 3. That's how slim the majority is in the House. Now, obviously, we know all 50 senators have to vote yes on it right. in order to get it to pass. So the margin there is none. But in the House, that she can lose 3. And here's one person that's on the Ways and Means Committee that's already, voicing objection relative to the total. Mm-hmm. So what's on the table? What did they vote for yesterday? What did they push forward in the Ways and Means? And there's two different levels. One is business taxes. So business taxes, they want to increase the corporate tax rate from 21% to 26.5%. So a 5.5% corporate income tax increase. You might recall during the Trump administration, we lowered it down to 21%. Mm-hmm. That's definitely consistent with what they said, which was what they were going to push to raise corporate taxes. You know, crack down on cryptocurrencies, trying to tax business revenue from offshore mm-hmm. as it comes into the country. Those are some key elements that are on the corporate side. Now, individual side, increase the top marginal rate to 39.6%.
There you go again.
So, that was lowered to 37%, mm-hmm. and now it's going to be going right back up to 39.6%, which is what it was pre the Bush tax cuts.
Right.
So that's where they're wanting it to go. A 3% surtax imposed on incomes of $5 million or more. Not sure how that's going to take shape. I mean, probably just a, hey, look, whatever that 39.6% is, add 3% if you're over $5 million mm-hmm. is the way it likely will end up. Capital gains rate. Here's a big one. 25%, up to 25% from 20%. And this is key, Mike, because one of the things I was interested in when we looked through this proposal is when would these measures start taking effect? Is it going to be retroactive? Is it going to be prospective? How are they going to handle this? Capital gains increase, that 5%, transactions made after September 13th, 2021.
So retroactive.
Retroactive on capital gains yeah. taxes. New limit set for large individual retirement accounts. So this is a couple different things, which is they don't want to allow high wealth individuals to put money into retirement accounts. So they're going to stop you from being able to put stuff into Roth IRAs, for mm-hmm. instance. So we'll see what the details on that end up and what they consider to be a wealthy individual. A boost to the net investment income tax. They said that'll generate $252 billion. Here's the key now. The doubling of the estate tax exemption. So this is where we are right now. We're at $10 million indexed for inflation. for estate taxes. We know that that's set to sunset in 2026. So we know that was going to go back to $5 million. Under this plan, it would sunset at the end of this year and go back to $5 million. So that's what they're planning on. So 2022, we would have our estate taxes exemption amount back down to the $5 million threshold from the $10 million current threshold.
Is that something that doesn't sound like that's too common practice, changing the sunset by 5 years? I mean, when they have these sunsets, usually it lives to that point and then, you know, they go and it fades away. Sunsets.
Yeah, exactly. So, wow. You know, that's the thing about what I tell all of our clients.
It's not etched in stone.
Exactly. It's whatever Congress deems, because that's in, you know, one bill, but it can be overridden by another piece of legislation, which is what they're trying to do here. Now, the interesting part about this, Mike, is what's not included. What's not included. So there's the things I mentioned that are included in the ways and means. Now, still, again, details are going to be important relative to whether the thresholds and everything like that. What's not included is the removal of step-up tax basis.
We've talked about that a lot.
Which we've talked about a lot, which was what was on the table, which was saying no more step-up tax basis or no more step-up tax basis after $1 million. The other noticeable thing that's not in this bill is the deemed asset sale upon death. So we've been talking a lot about that, about how that looks and how a lot of closely held businesses, family farms, even individuals that just hold real estate, were going to basically be forced to sell property, not to pay estate taxes, to pay income taxes.
Right.
Cause that's how they were going to focus things, was more on an income tax basis more than an estate tax basis. Those two provisions just didn't make it out of the gate. I'd heard a lot of criticism on both sides relative to those proposals. It was going to be an administrative nightmare. And it looks like that just simply was a non-starter, especially given the slim majorities that the Democrats have, in both houses. So it's interesting. The totals say that the highest earners in this country, their taxes are going to increase by just over 10%. Mm-hmm. And that over time, over this whole plan, the time period with which this reconciliation takes place, I believe is 8 years, that people making $400,000, remember that was a key number for President Biden, no one under $400,000 will see one penny of increase in tax.
Guess what? Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
And they said it's going to increase everyone's taxes by 1.5%. The only people that will not have a tax increase is people making under $30,000.
Yeah.
So all that talk about, and this is why, you know, I know that that a lot of people get criticism because they say, well, you should believe what Joe Biden says. And, oh, look, he's just trying to make the wealthy pay their fair share. Everyone knows that the devil's in the details. Mm-hmm. And that when it ultimately comes down to it, when they plan a tax increase, the tax base must be broadened. And therefore, it is going to affect
middle class
Americans. And that's exactly what's happening under this plan. And it's interesting to see how this is going to get covered, because I think that was a big promise that he made. And maybe they're going to start tweaking, you know, and then maybe they're going to start. And then when they start tweaking with that, what are they going to do to increase others? Are they going to revisit some of these issues that I talked about that are removed from the bill currently, but maybe will come back into play if they need to try to figure out a way to generate, you know, more revenue to pay for all this spending?
Yeah, it's easy to make a bumper sticker, tax the rich, or for that matter, wear a gown to a gala that says tax the rich. That looks like a Chick-fil-A takeout bag like AOC did. But, you know, you talk about these $5 million thresholds, and people say, well, that's, you know, who earns $5 million? But a lot of your small businesses, aren't they structured? Farmers, small business could be structured in a format such that they generate what appears to be revenue or income of $5 million.
I think you got to hit the nail on the head, which is the job creators. Mm-hmm. You know, that's who you're looking at, you know, this affecting.
Yeah.
And then what does that mean for the rest of Americans? Because usually a lot of times what ends up happening is that if you get taxed, you either have to, you know, cut staff,
or try to pass it through
to the customer. Yeah. That's exactly right. So, you know, you're looking at possible increases.
Corporate tax. When you talk about corporate tax and people say, well, they don't pay taxes, they just pass it through. Perhaps if they can, if the product is such that it can withstand a raise in cost to the consumer, but a tax is a tax.
That's right.
And if they can pass it through, guess what? You know, the consumer is going to pay for it. And ultimately that's going to play into a whole other topic of discussion, inflation. And which we're seeing already now take root in our economy.
Exactly.
I guess the takeaway, like you said before, is, you know, whenever these tax laws are passed, it's an ever-changing world. It's very fluid.
Yes.
So from your client's perspective, they need to be aware of
correct. I mean,
the changing tax laws.
Yes, flexibility. Mike. It's building flexibility into plans to make sure that we can move relative to the changes in the tax code. And then it's also being informed. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason that I spend a lot of time on this program talking to our listeners about proposals like we're doing right now, because we don't know what this final thing's going to be, but you need to hear what they're talking about. So in case it does affect you in some way, you know, you can make that appointment with Harvell and Collins and we can sit down and talk about what your estate plan, your business, et cetera, looks like. So we can make sure that, you know, you're not paying more than what you need to pay in taxes. And if there's any way to structure your estate or structure your business to help you, help save you, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. And, you know, we're in a period of time where we're in the largest intergenerational transfer of wealth from the older generation that is passing and passing it down to their heirs, their children. And you can't wait until that person passes to then devise a game plan.
No.
Now's the time to sit down and say, okay, here's the what ifs.
That's right.
You know, and even though it's not etched in stone, at least you have some sort of roadmap that you can at least navigate.
Exactly. And start to build the plan and, again, make it flexible so we can maneuver based upon what the change might be.
Because it will change. It can change in 2022 with the midterm elections. It may change in 2024 with the presidential. It always changes.
It
never stays the same. It's very fluid in there. As always, Andrew, thank you very much for letting us know about that. You can reach out to Andrew at Harvell and Collins. Call 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com to learn more about the ever-changing environment in Washington, D.C. and how it affects the regular Joe and Janes on the street here in Carteret County in eastern North Carolina. What they do up there affects us down here greatly. So have that conversation with Andrew Foster again at Harvell and Collins. 252-726-9050. We'll take a break and come back with more Coastal Daybreak after this.